In that rock I will hide. In that shadow I will abide. When the storms of life come sweeping over me, in that rock I would sister, not by power, but by my spirit's anchor. Not by mind, not by mind. Sister Orange. Oh, but by my spirit. The orange mind. This mountain cannot be removed. This mountain shall not be, oh never, this mountain shall not be moved, but by my spirit saith the
the phone, God of me above all.
Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Wonderful. Amen. Thank you, Carmel. Very nice. Amen. What do we sing now? Amen. Let's just sing one more clappy song and then we'll get into our... Hallelujah. Hosanna. Hallelujah. Hosanna. Hallelujah. Hosanna. Hallelujah. Oh, oh, hallelujah. Oh, hosanna. Oh, hosanna. Oh, hosanna. Hallelujah. Oh, we are praising Him, praising the Lord. Oh, we are praising, praising the Lord. We are praising Him. Oh, we are praising Him, praising the Lord. We are praising Him. We are praising, praising the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hosanna, hosanna, hallelujah, oh, oh, hallelujah, oh, hallelujah, hosanna, hallelujah, hosanna, hallelujah, oh, oh, we are praising Him, praising the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. We are praising Him, praising the Lord. We are praising Him. We are praising, praising the Lord. Hallelujah. We are praising Jesus, praising the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, we are praising the Lord, praising the Lord. Hallelujah. We are praising, praising the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Let's give Him a hand clap. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Let's sing that song, Beulah Land, Beulah Land, Beulah Land. Amen. That's a place we all long for. Hallelujah. We will understand each other. We'll all speak one language. When I look into my brother's eyes, I'll know he's not angry. He's happy. Amen. Because we'll know beyond. We'll know as we are known. Amen. I'm kind of homesick for a country to which I've never been before. Oh, no sad goodbyes in that country. No sad goodbyes will ever never be spoken again, for time won't matter. Oh, we are longing for that land, Beulah Land. I'm longing. Oh, we are longing for it, Lord. Yes, someday on the I'll stand. I will stand on that holy place in my home. Shall be eternal, Beulah Land, sweet Beulah Land. I'm loved. looking now. I'm looking. I'm looking by eyes of faith this morning. With my faith, it's gonna end inside. It's just a few more days. It's too late. Then I'll
place where faith will turn into sight. Let's pray. It's a prayer request from Brother Jovinas from Lithuania. He's having a health test on Monday. Amen. From the test depends on whether he can continue to work or not.
Amen.
So it must be something quite serious. Let's pray for him. Remember Brother Jovinas, he was here.
Amen.
Real nice brother.
Amen.
Please remember Brother Jose, he is not feeling well today and was asking for prayer. So we'll pray for him. And our visitors, Sister Nelissa and her son, Brother James, sister from Donabate, Dublin. God bless them. Amen. Amen. Wonderful. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we come in simplicity unto you, Lord, to bring ourselves before thee first. Father, you said you had respect unto Abel, and then to his offering. So, Father, we just want to make ourselves available to you. And as we come under the perfect provision of blood, the rich and the royal blood. Father, the token, oh Jesus, we come under that upon this day, knowing, Lord, when you look through the blood, you see us perfect. And Father, we just want to serve you with a perfect heart upon this day. So won't you bless, Lord, your people as we've gathered. Thank you for worship. Thank you for Beulah Land. Thank you that our faith can look beyond the river.
Amen.
Oh, Father, we thank you for these things. And now, Lord, we pray for these requests that have been brought to our attention, Lord. Father, you see Brother Gilvinus, Lord. You know his job, Father. You know his situation. We just bring it up unto thee. And we ask of you, Father, in your precious name, that you'd move on his behalf. That if there'd be a Red Sea, we pray, Lord, that you would speak and open the way where there's no way. Bless him, we pray. Father, we commit our brother unto thee, Brother Jose as well, Lord. Father, that you'd raise him up. That, Father, you would touch him in his body, that you'd restore his health. That, Father, you would help him, that day by day he might walk with you. That nothing may hold him back. May you bless your son upon this day. Thank you for the visitors in our gates. Bless them, we pray. Let it be a special day for them, is our desire. That, Father, you may be glorified. Now, won't you bless your word as we enter into it, Lord, for this season, Father. Help us to sit at your feet. Let your will be done, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen, saints. Let's open Hebrews 11. Let's move another verse forward to verse 8. We'll take a thought. We're not going to take long today. I would have said that's a kiss of death to anybody when they preach to say they're not going to take long. But our intention's not to take long today. Hebrews 11, 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. Let's just read it again. It's showing a real serious characteristic of faith here. You know, this isn't really explaining to us like we're saying the ABCs of this and that, but it's showing us the characteristics of faith.
Amen.
And this, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive an inheritance, he obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. That's faith. You may be seated, saints, in Jesus' name. I'm not going to say much about the weekend. It was really a nice time with our young people. The reason I'm not saying much is because they're tired. And if I get started on speaking about what we spoke of and what we fellowshiped about, they'll be saying, but we've already gone through these things. Please, we want to go home and rest. So they're really quite tired. But it wasn't so much the preaching of the word that tired them out. It was the spoken word. You know, the nya, 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 nya until 2 o'clock in the morning. That's what tired them out. So they're really tired today. But it was a real good time. So we had set an agenda. We had a strategies weekend with the young people. And there was tremendous things came from it. You know, real good feedback, real good thoughts about how we should structure things, things we should focus on. And then this morning we got on to the use of social media, you know, on outreach. So we'll speak about it down the way as we start to put the things in practice. But it was very beneficial, very virtuous, and we thank each and every person who was there. So that's all I say about it for now. Let's get on to looking at verse 8. If we had to give it a title today, we'll speak about faith's focus. What does faith focus on? This is a really important thing, because what you focus on is a very important thing. Now, the devil is the master at getting us to focus on the wrong thing.
Amen.
And that's why many, many times you don't receive the full inheritance that faith wants to lead us to, because you're focusing on the wrong thing. But faith has a focus.
Yes.
And we just want to have a look at that, because we can see that here in the life of Abraham. But the first thing that it shows us in verse 8, when it says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed. So faith is obedient.
Amen.
Faith will always be obedient. You know, if you give opportunity to faith inside of your life, faith is active. Faith wants to obey. You know, and when Abraham received the call, he was obedient. That was the secret to Abraham. That's how you'll find, if you read the Hebrews 11, the heroes of the faith, Abraham has a far bigger portion in that chapter than anybody else. Because he was the father of the faithful, Paul tells us. And you'll see that when Abraham received his initial call, he obeyed. He never questioned. He obeyed. And when now later on the same call came, the same Lord came in a different way and said, go and offer your son, he obeyed.
Amen.
And that's the secret. There's so many people holding themselves back from the fullness of divine blessing because they can't obey.
Amen.
They want to, instead of focusing, letting their faith focus on the thing it needs to be focused on, they go and focus on all the wrong things.
Amen.
You know, they go and ask too many questions before they obey. They think too much before they obey. Don't let reasoning be in the process of obedience. It'll never. Reasoning will stop you from obeying. But faith is obedient. It'll always be obedient. When there's a divine call, when the Lord draws near to your soul, when he's leading you to do something, faith obeys. It's an act of force. It'll always obey. Now, when you find somebody, you know, disobedience doesn't mean that you have to say, I don't want to do that. Disobedience is putting things off which you should be doing now. Now that's just as much disobedience as someone saying, I'm not going to do that. You know, you can make a whole lot of reasons why you're not doing what the Lord's telling you to do. You know, and you can spiritualize it and you can build it up in all manner of things that you want. But if you're not obeying the call, it's disobedience, no matter how you want to speak about it. And so many people have that. So many are called, but few are chosen. So there's so many people who forsake divine blessing by this just one simple thing, is they don't obey. They don't obey. The faith of Abraham, he obeyed. He didn't question first. He didn't need an understanding first. He didn't know where he was going. He didn't need to know where he was going. That was the attribute of faith. The Bible says, he went out not knowing where he was going. Now, that's not something that a natural person wants to do. But that's an attribute of faith. Faith doesn't need to know where it's going. Faith doesn't need the Lord to explain to you, okay, this is where you're going to end up and this is the way that you get there. Faith doesn't need that. No. All faith needs is to receive a call.
Yes.
And once that call comes, once there's that divine visitation, once the Lord speaks to you, if you've got faith inside of yourself, the Lord just wants you to act on that faith. And to keep that faith in focus, because that's a real, real important thing. So he begins his journey, Abraham, but he doesn't know where he's going. Is that not foolishness to the world?
Yeah.
He forsakes everything. It's not as if that this decision he made was a small decision or a light decision. But this decision that Abraham made, it was a very extreme decision. He was separating from his loved ones. He was separating from civilization. Yeah, he was down there in Ur of the Chaldees. He was separating himself from a life that he was so used to. Maybe he was set up well. He was going to inherit his father's business. All the things that Abraham was heir to. But as soon as this divine call came, he was willing to obey despite the consequences. You see, faith leaves the consequences in the hands of God. Because faith believes that God knows what he's doing. You know, if we're going to question God now and say, but Lord, okay, if I'm going to do this, will you do this for me? Or why do you want me to do that? You know, where am I going to go? And, you know, how am I going to survive? It shows that you don't trust that he knows what he's doing. But God, when he calls us to do things, God doesn't give us a full explanation most of the time. God doesn't show us the whole roadmap of where he's leading us. Abraham didn't have a roadmap. He didn't even know where he was going. So when he separates himself from his family might have come and sat him down. He's about to leave. He's put everything on the camels. He's got all his servants. He's got Lot and all to go with him. And then his family come now, his father and his mother and all the rest of the relatives come. No, we need to speak some sense into this guy. Well, can they come and say, Abraham, please, before you go, just come and sit down. I think let's discuss this a little bit first. Okay, Abraham, tell us exactly what happened here. He says, God called me. God spoke to me.
Amen.
Okay, Abraham, we know that's possible. Gods, they can speak to people. But what did he tell you to do? He says, he told me to leave everything. Abraham, that's pretty drastic. Why are you supposed to? Where are you going? I don't know. Where's the end? Where's the destination that he said that you must go to? He says, he never told me that. He just told me to leave.
Amen.
And that's a serious thing. That is why Abraham is the father of the faithful. It's because every single one of us is the same. Every person is a genuine believer here. When the Lord came and visited you, you left everything.
Amen.
You left your old churches, you left your old friends, you left your old lifestyle. Did you know where you were really going to go? No, you just knew there was something telling you to do something now. And that something inside of you was prompting, just obey. And that thing was so real to you, just obey. But to people who don't have that faith, it's foolishness to them. Abraham is like Noah, like we said last week. Noah put all his eggs in one basket. Abraham didn't have a backup plan. He didn't have a plan B that in case this fails, in case we get lost in the wilderness or something like that. He had real faith. You know, and he knew if God speaks, if God commands, if God makes a requirement, God knows what he's doing. He doesn't have to explain the whole thing to me. He doesn't have to explain the whole thing to you. As long as he instructs us to do something, he knows what he's doing. And this is where now the test of faith comes in, is because many times, what does it say? Abraham's being called to his inheritance. He doesn't even know where his inheritance is. There's just something inside of him telling him, I'm marching towards my inheritance. There's a substance inside of him. There's a reality inside of him that knows there's an inheritance for me somewhere. God has a blessing. God has a fullness. If God is calling me to leave this, God has got something far better for me down the way. But there's always that test of faith between the time that he calls you and the time that you obtain that full inheritance. You need to walk by faith. Because you need to keep your faith in focus at that time, because there's going to be many dry valleys. There's going to be many rough parts in the journey. There's going to be some storms, some sandstorms. There's going to be misfortune along the way. And all of those things are going to come and try to test your faith, to try to get you off course. That you have to trust in the one who called you, then he knows the way. Then he knows how to get you to the place that he's called you. And Satan's going to come and he's going to test you in the middle. That's where Israel made the mistake in the wilderness. You know, they knew that God had called them out, but they couldn't trust him enough to believe he was going to lead them into an inheritance. So when the trials came, they didn't have food, they didn't have water, they started to question now. To say, but hey, let's go back to Egypt. But inside of Joshua and Caleb, they had another spirit. No, they knew it. Look, we can't understand these things. We can't understand why there's no food. We can't understand why there's no water at this time. But there's just something inside of us that still declares to us that God knows what he's doing. Amen. You see, because faith obeys and leaves the consequences in the hands of God. It leaves all the details to God. And that's not easy for us as natural people. Because from the time that we're born, we're told you need to make a plan. Now, if you're going to go somewhere, you need to, you need a GPS, you need a roadmap, you need to have sufficient money, you've got to have sufficient resources and all those kind of things. But when God deals with people, God doesn't deal with us like that. God is not in the business of explanation. Do you know that? God is in the business of revelation, and that's a big difference. God doesn't have to explain things to us. God reveals something to you. That's faith. And that faith's enough for a believer. So if the Lord says to you, separate yourself from unbelief, like we were saying with the young people last night. When God calls somebody and says, separate yourself from unbelief. Although he hasn't yet given you a replacement. Maybe you'll separate yourself from your old girlfriend of the world. You'll separate yourself from your old friends because they're going to hold you back from God. You don't know what God has in store for you after that. So it's like you're taking a step into the unknown. You're taking a step out into nothing. You don't really know what's going to come next. The only thing that faith knows is, focus on what God is telling you to do now. Amen. That's all that faith is. And that is, friends, the Christian walk. Faith's focus is only one thing. Focus on what God is telling you now. Don't worry about anything else. Don't worry about the future. Don't worry about the ifs and the buts and what happens if this happens. Faith doesn't worry about those things. In this sense, faith is very short-sighted. No, faith is satisfied to be short-sighted. As long as faith can just see one step ahead, knowing that the Lord said, separate yourself from your kindred, what do you need to do? Just separate yourself from your kindred. And then after that, faith's going to tell you the next thing to do. Faith's going to take you step by step, meeting the obstacles until it brings you to the fullness of your inheritance. Because saints, God has never deceived anybody. God cannot deceive. Faith will never deceive you. If you had a genuine call, if Abraham has a call to say, separate yourself and I'm going to bring you to an inheritance. He knew God doesn't deceive people. So though my senses may tell me other things, though my reasoning may get in the way and want to try to complicate things, but it's guaranteed I'm going to receive my inheritance. Because faith is an assurance. It's a substance that a person has. You're convinced that what God has told you is true. How are you going to get there? You have no idea. How are you going to get there? When you first got in the message, you had no idea what you were going to do next. You had no idea. And that's the way that God likes it to be. Because he wants us, for our faith, to focus on him each step of the way. Now, if he told us the whole journey, we're not going to walk by faith anymore. We're not going to be relying on him anymore. We're not going to be drawing near so that we can make sure that we find out the next step of the journey. Because we'd know the beginning from the end. And that's not healthy for a believer. That's why God doesn't give us full explanations of things. God doesn't lay things out for us. We're the ones that are looking for all this other assurance of the world. And we want all these policies and insurance schemes and that, all which have their place. But faith doesn't look at those things. No, faith has based its hope in something that is so real and so solid. It knows no matter how dark the day gets, no matter how tricky the journey gets, no matter how dangerous it seems, faith knows it has to come out well in the end. Amen. Because God wouldn't call me to something that he doesn't intend to give me. God doesn't start me on a journey without knowing where the end is. He knows where the end is. He doesn't tell us in the beginning where the end is. But he knows where the end is. He knows the destination. He knows the place that he's taking us. So faith never ever focuses on consequences. It never does. That's not what faith should be focusing on. Faith focuses on being obedient to the current command, to what God is currently telling you to do. And leave the consequences up to God. Because so many times, friends, what do? We're like, We dismiss God without meaning to. We disqualify ourselves from the blessing without meaning to. By doing what? By reasoning it out first. You know, to say, but if I do this, then this is going to happen. That's going to happen. If I follow him like this, these people are going to leave me. I'm not going to be the big shot in my school anymore. I'm not. You see how reasoning comes in. Faith doesn't operate like that. Faith doesn't focus on the consequences. Faith doesn't focus on all these side things down the side of the road. Faith focuses on one thing. What is it that God expects me to do now? And that's all that faith needs to focus on. And if you look inside of your life, what should you be focusing on now? What is it that God is speaking to you about? To our young people, some of them need to separate themselves from the world. Separate themselves from things that are holding them back. They shouldn't worry about anything else in the faith. They should focus on that. They should allow their faith to produce that. To produce that obedience to what God has told them to do. And then God will take them the next step of the way. But some people, they'll say, but no, you know, if I don't keep one foot in the world, I never find a good person to marry. You know, we can think like that sometimes as young people. But God calls us to take that step into the unknown. Amen. It's unknown to us, but it's not unknown to him. He knows the provision. He knows what he's going to do, but he doesn't have to tell us. But he wants that faith. Faith can work from the unknown. Faith can work from nothing. Look at Hebrews 11 at the beginning there when it says, verse 3. It says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. God is great at working things out of nothing, or producing things out of what we think is nothing. Oh, there was nothing in that before the world came into existence. Yeah, before the universe came into substance, it was just as real. It was a substance in God. It was faith. So the heavens and the earth, although our senses at that time wouldn't have been able to see them, but to God they were real. So we look at something, it looks like, yay, yay, yay. You know, there's nothing here. God is doing something out of nothing. He's asking me to step into nothing. He's not asking you to step into nothing. It's tangible and it's real what he's asking you to step in. Amen. As long as you have faith. Amen. You know, his leadership is real. His direction is real. That faith inside of you, it's a compass. It's real. It knows the way. It knows the direction. But friends, it needs a step of faith. You've got to step out in faith. Amen. In order to see, you know, that something become a substance for God to make it real. But God is very, very good at dealing with us in that kind of a way. He wants to see us first step out in faith, and then he'll do the something in return. He'll tell us, separate from those worldly friends. And then you'll think, but I'm going to be lonely. You know, hey, this isn't going to be easy. And you do it, and then he has far better friends for you. He has genuine friends from you. He'll say, leave that life that you're living and all your old ambitions that you're trying to achieve. And then you step out of that in faith, and then he takes you into the real thing of life. He takes you into your real destiny so that you can achieve your purpose, because that's what he did to Abraham. Amen. But Abraham had a step of faith he had to take. He had to step out into the unknown. He had to step out into this void. And that's why you've got to make sure that it's God who's telling you to do it. Amen. Abraham had no doubt God spoke to him. Amen. The Lord spoke to him and said, separate yourself. And that is the very reason why he could do the things that he did with such a confidence, because he had this. He was convinced that God had spoken to him. He was convinced that this is what God wants to be done. Now, in choosing things, imagine he's got his whole life set up back there in Ur of the Chaldees. He's got all his friends, he's got his family, he's got, like I say, business, whatever that he's got. And God now says, Abraham, leave those things. Yeah? Yeah, and it brings us to that statement somebody once made, and I always like it, that faith leaves the choosing to God. Amen. Yeah. If you want the best things in life, let God do the choosing. Amen. But the way that God does the choosing isn't the way that we do the choosing. We choose by our senses. We choose by our reasoning. We judge things according to sense, according to, you know, experience and the things that you've gone through. But God, many times he chooses something for us, and at the time he chooses it for us, we don't see the full value of it, what it is that he's chosen for us. It's only going to be after some time, sometimes, that we start to realize, but yay, God knew what he was doing. Amen. Now I understand why he chose this for me. That sometimes we've got to let go of our own choice and step out in faith for something which at that time is not immediately clear to us. Why has God chosen this for me? Was it not like that when you came to the message? You might have been in some big, mega church. Yeah? You know what, the guys who wear the $2,000-$3,000 suits. You know, those guys that are immaculate, and those shoes that they wear once and then they wear another pair of shoes every week and so forth. You know, and they take the offerings and they've got to bring the big van outside there from the bank, you know, to come and collect. I've seen those churches. And you'll go from something like that with the plush pews, the latest technology. You know, the latest singers will be there, the big shots and the big names. And the Lord comes to you and says, separate yourself from this to an inheritance that I have chosen for you. And then you say, okay, now, Lord, where do you want me to go? And he says, okay, you go down there. You know where those people are there and some of their chairs are broken and all of that kind of a stuff. And it's like a faith will lead you to a place. Then you look and say, if you allow your reasoning to kick in, if you allow other things, but just give it time. And you'll start to understand the wisdom of God. You'll start to see that God's choice is always the greatest. That he'll never deceive you. He'll never mislead you. His choice is always the right choice. It's like when the wise men came, they're following a star. They come in, there's going to come a king. You know, they know all the prophecies. They, in their minds, have this idea that we've got to get in Jerusalem. I mean, if we're going to find the king, he's going to be in the palace. Let's go to the palace. They go to Herod's palace. Where's he born king of the Jews? Friend. And the star went out. Then they start to realize, but hey, something's funny here. Then they get a bit involved with Herod and his politics and so forth. Hey, let's get out of here. They get out. The star shines again over Bethlehem. They follow the star. Where does it bring them? To the most unlikely of places. It doesn't bring them to a palace. It brings them to a congregation of smelly shepherds. Yeah? A congregation of the poor of the earth. And that's where God deposited the greatest gift that he could in that kind of a circumstance. That's how God does things. Now, you can easily be stumbled by God's choice at first. You can easily stumble because God hides himself in simplicity. And the full result is never known in the beginning. The fullness of what God has for you, it's never known in the beginning. You need to continue by faith, and then it starts to unfold itself and unfold itself until you come to the fullness of your inheritance. Abraham never left Ur of the Chaldees on day one and got into his inheritance on day two. It took time. Imagine him getting into the promised land, yeah? He's got all this expectation. Faith has told him God is going to give me inheritance. Friends, we've been there. It's dry and it's dusty where he was in Hebron, around that area. I mean, you would never think this is a promised land. Then you're going to have to search for milk and honey in some of those places to make it a land of milk and honey. But God knew what he was doing. You see, and Abraham, he focused on the right thing. He focused on faith, what faith was declaring to him, what faith was telling him. He just focused on that. He didn't worry about all these other things. And that is really how God always works. He always works. God's choice will always disappoint a carnal person. Why does God choose a seventh grade educated man to fulfill Malachi 4:5? A man who can't even speak good English. No, whose grammar isn't very good. But by faith, if you'll allow that faith that calls you to the message of the hour to continue to express itself, you will find in that message your inheritance. You'll find something so satisfying and so powerful that you'll say, I'm so glad I left the rest, because this is more than recompensed me for all that I ever gave up. Because that's the principle that God works with. But many times the end result of what he's calling you to is not immediately apparent to your senses, but it's real to your faith. And someone will try to say to you, okay, now explain this to me rationally, okay? You left there and you came here. Explain this to me. And you can't. Because faith doesn't look for explanation. Faith is not dependent on explanation. Faith is dependent on revelation. All faith needs is revelation. And God's revelation, the way that he reveals things, friends, it's powerful. It's very powerful how God works. So the best thing that you can do is you just let God do the choosing. Now, he comes to his inheritance. Now, faith needs only one thing. Faith doesn't need to ask where. When Abraham was called, he never said, Lord, where? No, Lord, before I go, you need to explain to me where I'm going. No, faith is satisfied not knowing where it's going.
Amen.
As long as God is in it. Amen. As long as God has given the command. As long as there's been a revelation. As long as God is real inside of your soul, you don't worry about where.
Amen.
Because you know that God knows where.
Amen.
You know, so faith, we want W5. You know, you go to Belfast, they've got the place you take the children, W5. Who, what, why, when, where. Yeah? We want that. When the Lord speaks to us, we want to know, okay, who? Who am I going to be with? Where do you want me to go? Why do you want me to go there? How am I going to go there? You know, we've got all of these questions. And that gets us into trouble. Because by the time we're thinking of all those things, we don't realize that all the time that we're measuring those things up in our mind, we're living in disobedience.
Yes, sir.
Because when God speaks to us, he expects us just to obey, like Abraham, like our father Abraham. It was prompt obedience. He didn't wait. When the Lord spoke to him, he just went. And friends, that's where many of our young people are holding themselves back from great blessing. It's because the Lord is calling them, and the Lord is calling them, but they're putting all of these conditions in the way. Now let me wait for this first, and let me wait for the... No, 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 faith doesn't operate like that.
Amen.
That's now putting your humanity in the program of God. And every time you put yourself in the program of God, you're going to complicate his program.
Amen.
And it's never going to work the way God wanted it to work for you. But if you can just hear from God, off you go.
Amen.
Remember that testimony of the prophet with the three healings before breakfast, yeah? That was faith. When the prophet just told him, turn left, turn right, stand in front of this fishing shop here. He didn't know where he was going, but he knew God knows where I'm going.
Amen.
And there's a purpose in this. And as he's standing there, somebody walks by, and then the angel says, speak to her. Yeah, and then she was healed. And then it says, okay, go here, go here. You know, those kind of things. How the prophet was led. That was the faith of Abraham. That was the faith of Abraham and the prophet. He was in a condition like Abraham. The Lord could just speak to him. He'd lay aside everything else and just obey. And friends, if the Lord could bring us to that place,
amen,
what marvelous things we would see. What manifestations of it. How much quicker we would get to the fullness of our inheritance that he stored up for us. Instead of hindering the program by allowing too many questions. And we wanting God to say, okay, Lord, I'll go, but... No, you need to tell me this and that. No, 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 no. God is not obligated to tell us anything. You know what he wants us to do? He wants us to respect who he is. That he's a supreme intelligence. That he knows all things. And he knows the end from the beginning. That if God speaks, he knows why he's saying it. And he doesn't have to give us explanations. Most of the time in the Bible, when you find people try to get explanations from God, God never gave them explanations. It's like Job. Job got to the place now he wanted explanations. He says, if only I could come before the Lord, if I could stand before his seat, I will fill my mouth with arguments. Yeah? That's easy to say until you get in his presence. And then when the Lord came down, Job forgot all of his arguments. He had all of these questions piled up saying, if I get in the presence of the Lord, I'm going to ask him these questions. When the Lord came down in the whirlwind, Job never asked him a simple question. Job put his hand on his mouth and said, I abhor myself. Who am I uttering counsel without knowledge? And the Lord never came down to him and said, Abraham, Job, let me explain to you why your children died. Let me explain why you lost all of your wealth. He never did. You know what God did? God revealed himself. God says, who are you? Where were you before the foundation of the world? When I laid things the way that they are? Are you the one who puts the moon there to govern the tides? Yeah. Were you the one who made Leviathan and all these different things? And when the Lord revealed himself to Job, Job was more than satisfied. And it's the same with you and I. you will be in a real perplexing situation inside of your life that you don't understand why God is not answering this prayer or God is not moving on your behalf. Yeah? And you will say, if I can just say this to the Lord. And then the Lord just comes and reveals himself to you. And faith is just satisfied. Amen. Because friends, faith is satisfied as long as God is in the program. That's Amen. Faith is satisfied. Amen. As long as God is in the program, everything's going to come out fine in the end. Faith knows that. Faith doesn't need to have a full explanation of every part of how this is going to fit together and come to the place that it's supposed to be. Faith is satisfied as long as God is in the program. You get to those places inside of your life, we all do, when it just seems everything's going upside down. When it seems all of your thoughts and all of your plans, all our ambitions, you know, our carefully laid out strategies, we wanted things to move in a certain way, we wanted life to go, so we wanted church to go a certain way. And then you get into crises where everything seems to go upside down, things you never planned, things that you never intended to happen, and you don't have an explanation for the way that it is. You don't understand why it's like that. But if you will just be quiet, if you will just wait upon the Lord, you will just allow faith to focus itself correctly once again. Faith is satisfied knowing if God is in the program, if God started the work, God knows how to finish the work. He's the one who can bring things back on course. He's the one who can iron these things out. Now, faith is satisfied to leave it in the hands of God. To leave the big, perplexing things in his hands. And faith simply focuses on the task at hand. That's what it all it wants to do. And that's how your faith starts to grow. When you start walking like that. When you're not trying to peer into things like the men of Kirath Jearim, if you're going to read in the Bible, when the ark came into... Remember, the Philistines sent the ark with the oxen. And it came into their town and they wanted to peer into the ark. And the Lord smote them with plagues. Because they weren't supposed to peer into the secret things of God. Leave those things to God. The secret things belong, the hidden things belong to God. But what belongs to us is the things that he reveals to us. Now those brothers came to the prophet and wanted to know the future. You go and read it in the Generations book. They came to the prophet and they pressed him about things in their future. And the prophet said, brothers, you don't want to know about your future. Leave the future to God. Amen. And they pressed him, and then he told them certain things were going to happen in their future. And they said it was the worst thing that you ever did. God knows the best thing, the wisest thing is leave him with the future. Amen. If you want to enjoy the present, if you want to really, really be what you're supposed to be in the present, leave the future to him. Because if he shows you things in the future, you're going to focus on the future. If he shows you someone's going to die next year, or there's going to be a tremendous accident or something, it's going to spoil your present. Faith isn't going to focus now on the things that it should be focused, because faith is looking ahead. There are things which leave them in the hands of God. And if you leave it in the hands of God, when it gets to the stage, there's a death or misfortune or sickness, faith at that time will focus on it then. God will show faith how to deal with it then, but you've got to leave it in his hands now. That's why I say in one sense, faith is short-sighted. Faith in us doesn't want to look right to the end of the journey. It says, no, that's too much for you. You just focus on the task at hand. Amen. You just focus on what revelation is telling you to do now. Amen. And that's the way anybody is successful as a believer. Amen. The prophet gives it how, like as a parable, when he spoke to that man. And that man says, I don't believe in faith. No, I don't believe in the spiritual realm. I believe something has to be tangible. And the man was after the meeting, and the man had his lamp, and the prophet says, where's your home? He says, where are you going now? He says, I'm going home. Don't you want to come with me? The prophet says, I can't come with you. Then the prophet says, but how are you going home? He says, can you see your house? He said, no, I can't see my house. It's on the other side of the hill. He says, how do you know that it's there? How are you going to get there? He says, well, I'm just going to put the lamp before me and walk in the light of the lamp. And the prophet said precisely. He says, that's the way that faith operates. Amen. Faith knows there's a destination. You know there's something there. Amen. But the way to get there, you don't exactly know. But what you're going to do, you're going to walk in the light one step at a time. Amen. You're going to focus on what faith is enlightening inside of your experience at that time. Amen. And friends, sometimes God brings things around in a parabolic way. Sometimes the answer to your prayer is going to come in ways which seem to work contrary to the answer to your prayer. Now, sometimes the Lord's going to lead you to do something over here, not realizing you're desiring an answer to your prayer. He's going to allow you to do something that you may not see the connection with it. But God knows you need to go here and here first, and then it's going to bring you to this place over here. Yeah. And all that he wants us to do is just to do it. It's just to be obedient, just to focus. Let our faith focus on the right thing as he's dealing with us one step at a time. But, like somebody put Brother James the other day, that quote, again, education's of the devil. It's a hard statement, but it's true. Because education teaches you exactly the opposite. Now, education's fine as long as you're governed by faith. You know, and you use education just to get through this world and, you know, navigate yourself through with your degree and so on. Well, that's fine. But friends, education is the enemy of God. It really is. Because we're taught you've got to prove something. No, that you'll never, don't ever do something before you weigh out the risks and weigh out the consequences. Faith isn't worried about the risk. Because faith knows if God is commanding something, there's no risk. There's no risk in obeying God. It may seem risky to your senses. It may seem risky to your reason. But it's never risky to follow God. Never. If he says, Peter, come to me. And Peter gets out of the boat. There's no risk. As long as faith can focus on the right thing, Peter's going to be fine. But the moment he starts focusing on things which his faith isn't focusing on, he starts to sink under the waves. He should have just kept his focus. And that's what the devil wants us to do. Now, he wants to pull us to the left and the right and get us to worry about this. But I mean, if I do this, what are my parents going to say? And if I do this, then this person and that person, my friends and my community and my reputation and all of these kind of things. Friends, the best thing you can do in that situation is let faith speak. Because when faith speaks, all of those other things will be quiet. Amen. Just let faith speak once again. Let faith have the dominion. Because faith knows what it's doing. And like I say, as long as God is in the program. Hallelujah. Abraham knew God is in the program. He's the one who started this work in me. I never started this work myself. It was revelation. It was visitation that produced this inside of me. God spoke to me. And as long as he knew that, the whys and the wherefores and that, they didn't really matter. Faith doesn't need to know why. Faith doesn't need to know how. Faith doesn't need to know when. You see, we get prayed for, we have a when. Yeah. We have our own idea that, you know, if God's going to do this for me, he's going to do it in a certain time frame. Abraham's faith didn't know when.
Amen.
25 years was a long time, friends, right, to wait for the promise. But faith was satisfied.
Amen.
He just kept focusing on the right thing. And he left the when in the hands of God. He left the how in the hands of God. He left all of the perplexing questions that we can easily focus on in life. He left those in the hands of God. And that's the key to peace in your soul.
Amen.
That's the key to resting in God.
Amen.
Is you leave those things to him.
Amen.
If you can't understand something, fine. Don't understand it. Faith doesn't need an understanding. Faith can operate perfectly well without understanding. It's in its element without understanding. It's perfectly satisfied to operate without an understanding. You know why? Because it knows that God has the understanding.
Yeah.
That the one imparted this faith, the one that spoke to me, he understands. Now, he understands. He knows the way that I'm going to take. When, like I said, when we ask God, yeah, for an explanation about what he's going to do, you go back and look in the Bible. How many people can you see that they went and asked God, God, can you please give me an explanation, that God gave them an explanation? He never did. Every single time when people needed help at that kind of a time, when something was challenging their faith, when all these perplexing questions were coming, God did one simple thing. He simply revealed himself to those people again. He just revealed himself. Because friends, when he reveals himself to you, satisfied. Yeah, it's like you'll have all of these things in your mind that, hey, if I get in the presence of God, I'm going to say this, ask this, ask this, ask that. And then when his presence comes, friends, it's like all those things just seem to evaporate. They're just not important anymore. The only thing that's important is that visitation.
Yeah. And you can go through hardships and sorrow, and you can have gone through the valley of sorrows and of weeping, yeah? And it will have seemed hard, and it seems you're never going to come to the end. And the Lord brings you to a fresh visitation to your soul. And it's incredible how quickly you forget all of that weeping.
Amen.
And all of that sorrow, it's like it was never there. All that trial wasn't there. All it needed was a fresh revelation. That's all that it needs. That is God's way of answering people, is by revelation. He just reveals himself to you, and faith is satisfied. As long as it knows God is still with me, I'm satisfied.
Amen.
Everything is going to come out well.
Amen.
It's got to finish itself up in the end. So the Lord was leading him to his inheritance. It's the same as us. Do you understand exactly how God's going to lead you to the fullness of your inheritance? Do you know every footstep? How are you going to get to the spoken word? How are you going to get to rapturing faith? How are you going to get to the full inheritance of the message of the hour? Genuine faith isn't worried about that. Genuine faith knows we'll get there. Because he that called us will finish the work. Faith rests in that. Faith doesn't crack its head at night saying, you know, maybe we don't have enough rapturing faith. Maybe I need to listen to more of this, more of that, and the other. No, no, no. All you got to do is be obedient to your faith now.
Amen.
What is the Lord telling you to do now? Just be obedient to that. Just be faithful to that. Just do it with all your heart and all your soul. And God will bring you to inheritance, because that's what he did to Abraham. Leave the way to him. Leave the directions. Leave the roadmap in his hands. He knows the way. He's never misled his people once. Even at times when it seems you get off course, God leads you off course. It's not getting off course. There's a purpose in the way that he's leading you that way.
Amen.
And he is the one who knows how to get you back on track just at the time you're supposed to get back on track. Don't think for God. He knows what he's doing.
Amen.
But that's where the problem comes in. The reasoning power. The greatest battle ever fought. Because we're people of sense. We're people of reason. You know, and those are the greatest enemies to the walk of faith. And that's why people without faith will never understand people with faith. You can never expect your mother and father, if they're not born again, to understand you. After a while, they'll start to respect you because they'll start seeing the outworking of your faith.
Amen.
But at first, don't expect them to understand what you're doing. It's foolishness to them. Do you think people could understand Moses going down into the mud pits of Egypt, forsaking all of the riches? Yeah. All of the potential, all of the education, all that he had been built up to be. Do you think people could understand him? But you know that he did it by faith?
Amen.
It was real to him. He was willing to suffer the reproach of Christ. He knew Christ is in this. Christ is in this program. And that's why he was willing to forsake all. And that's why he became such a great man. That's the way that God operates with his people. It's only one thing. If faith doesn't, I put a little thing on the other day on the forum, that faith doesn't need to see anything. Faith doesn't need to understand those kind of. There's only one thing that faith declares. Faith knows, I know in whom I've believed.
Amen.
That's all that it needs. It just needs to know in whom it's believed. Faith doesn't need anything else. No, faith just needs to rest in him. Look at Joseph. Take the life of Joseph. Joseph was perfection. Look in Genesis 39. You'll really, really see the way that God operates with us. The Lord speaks to him in his youth. Joseph maybe has all of his own ideas how God is going to fulfill the word. And it doesn't work out that way. He finds himself down in Egypt. But Genesis 39 says, verse 1, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him out of the hand of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph. Now this is the key to how Joseph came to his inheritance. He didn't understand why he was in Egypt. That question might have perplexed him. While he was on his way to Egypt, behind the camel train, his hands bound, whatever that it was, having been sold for 20 pieces of silver, imagine what was going through his mind. What have I done wrong? Did I do something against God? Whatever. Then he gets down into Egypt. But don't forget, there's perfection in Joseph. Yeah. Verse 2. And the Lord was with Joseph. And he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. What is it saying there? Joseph discerned very quickly, God is in the program. I don't understand what's going on, but I'm satisfied because God is in this program. All I need to do now is focus on what God wants me to do now. And that's all we've got to do. Don't worry about those perplexing questions. Leave them in the hands of God. Amen. Don't worry about those things that you don't understand. Don't crack your head over those things. Amen. Imagine Joseph could have destroyed his faith. Yeah? Joseph could have so complicated his life if he hadn't have allowed his faith to focus on the right thing. Amen. But he focused on the right thing. Straight away he discerned. I don't know what's happening inside of my life. I don't know why I've got to be a slave down in a place like this in this season. But one thing's for sure, God is in this.
Amen.
The Lord is prospering me in these things. And that was sufficient for the faith that was in Joseph. As long as God was with him, now whatever it was that was at his hand to do, he was going to do it with all his heart.
Amen.
And that was the way that God brought him to his inheritance. In a similar way, later on in the chapter, when he's now in prison, it says in verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. This is the paradox of faith. He's in prison. Imagine the circumstance of his life. He's in prison. He's done nothing wrong, but he's in prison. He could have focused on that and said, hey, I'm in prison. I don't want to be in prison. I shouldn't be in prison. Why has God allowed me to be in this prison? But faith doesn't ask why.
Amen.
How am I going to get out of this prison? Faith doesn't ask how. It doesn't. Faith just focuses on the task at hand. When he saw now what God was expecting him to do, he says, Lord, I don't understand a lot of things here, but one thing I can see, you wanted me to be here and to do what I'm supposed to do with all of my heart. And as soon as he started now to focus on what the task was at hand, God started to prosper. God started to quicken him again. God started to make it real to him. And it says, verse 23, the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Those are the great paradoxes in life. You'll have an aspect of your life that God just keeps you in fetters and chains. And you don't understand why. And yet in all these other areas of life, you can see God is prospering you.
Amen.
You know the great mistake we can make? We can focus on the fetters. We can focus on that one portion of life that we're perplexed with at the expense of all of the rest of what God is doing inside of our lives. But Joseph wasn't like that. He kept his faith in focus. He knew, I can't understand this. I can't change the situation now. I leave this in the hands of God. But there are things that I can do. And then he put all of his resource into the things that he could do. And in the end, that was the way that he was delivered from his captivity. He could have sat back there and waited to say, I'm not doing anything else for the Lord until he opens these prison doors. Friends, he would have died an old man. He would have had a long beard. You know? He would have been an honorary member of the prison old age society if he had have done it like that. But he didn't do that. And friends, we shouldn't do that. Leave the things in the hands of God. The things that perplex you, the things that trouble you. If God wanted to give you the answer, do you think he wouldn't have given you the answer? Has he not answered many other things for you? So is it not as just as easy for him to answer that thing for you? So don't focus on that. Focus on the other things. Those places that you can see the Lord is prospering you. Those places you can see the Lord is blessing you. Just put your resources there. Put your focus there. Keep your focus there.
But it's not easy to do, because even Joseph got weary in prison. And when he was with the butler and the baker, and then he's about to be released, the butler, then he says, please. Now, he wants to lean on the arm of flesh now. No, please, when you come before Pharaoh once again, remember me. No, intercede to him for me. Tell him that, you know, I did nothing wrong to be here. But friends, God knows what he's doing. As soon as that man left the prison, he forgot Joseph. For 2 years. But that didn't stumble Joseph's faith. Because Joseph types perfection. Friends, faith is never discouraged. Faith is never disappointed. Faith is never depressed. Faith is never perplexed. Faith is never without the resources that it needs to operate. Because faith is divine. Faith comes from God. God visits you. He speaks to you. He reveals himself to your soul. And friends, that's all we need to be satisfied in. And whatever he's revealing to you now, that's where your faith must focus now.
Amen.
And on the hidden things, leave them with God. On the places where you've knocked and knocked and knocked and the door's not opening, what I would say to you, turn around. You'll find there's many other doors that will open at that time.
Yeah.
Now, if God's keeping this door closed and he's not telling you why he's keeping this door closed, leave that in the manifold wisdom of God.
Amen.
Leave that in the hands of the one who knows why that door should remain shut. And focus your attention on the other doors. And you'll find God will start to prosper you in this and prosper you in that. People around you will see the hand of God upon your life. But if you're not careful, you're going to focus on the prison bars. And you're going to say, but God isn't with me. How can you? Like they say, the pity party. You know, you have a pity party with yourself. You feel sorry for yourself. Now you're feeding your emotions. You get depressed. And oh no, you know, doesn't God know how long I've been in this situation? But give him his position. He knows what he's doing. Have the faith of Job. What did Job say? They said to Job, Job, tell us one thing. Can you explain where the situation is going? He said, I can't explain where. Can you explain how you're going to get out of this situation? I can't explain how. Can you explain where God, where are you going in this? Job stood up and he says one thing. He says, he knows the way that I take. He knows the way that I take. That's the only thing that matters. It doesn't mean he has to reveal it to me, but as long as he knows the way that I take, when I come forth, I'm going to be as gold. That's a manifestation of faith, friends. And that's what we've got to feed. That's what we've got to strengthen, especially in those junctions of life. Especially in the difficult parts, the perplexing times of life. Feed that faith. Don't seek for answers. Seek for revelation. Seek to say, Lord, I just need you. I'm not asking you, Lord, to explain your doings to me. But I need a fresh visitation of you to my soul. I need you to quicken my faith again. I need you to sustain me in the inner man. So that I can do your will in the midst of this. But friends, the devil, he knows man. He knows our makeup. He knows how we rely on sense. We rely on reason. And that's why he comes and tries to get us to focus on those things. And when we do that, we forsake our own blessing so many times. Imagine if Abram had focused on that. Said, Lord, okay, I can see that you're calling me. You promised you're going to give me inheritance, but Lord, you're going to have to come and give an explanation here first. You're going to have to explain, how am I going to get from here to there? And where am I going? And what's it like where I'm going? Faith doesn't interest itself in such things. It's our fallen humanity that interests itself in those things. Faith just is interested in one thing. Is God in this? Is God leading me? If he's leading me, I'm going to push on. Though I can't see the next step, it's okay. As long as God's leading me in this step, let me do that and God will take care of the rest. And now we can go through history from the beginning of time to now. And you'll never find one person will be able to stand up and testify and say that type of faith disappointed them.
Amen.
Or that kind of faith misled them. Never. It can't. God can't fail.
Amen.
He can't fail. He can do many. He can do many things. But he can never fail.
Amen.
That's one thing that God cannot do.
Right.
That faith, it's
points you to the North Star. That faith keeps you on course. You may not see what's over the next mountain, but you're looking at the North Star. You may not see what's coming down at the end of the journey, but you're sure of one thing, there's my inheritance. And friends, that's the confidence of a message believer as well. You've got to be convinced with this message. You've got to have an assurance inside of yourself by faith, by revelation, that this message is what it says it is. Amen. That this message will produce what it said it'll produce. How is it going to do it? Friends, let's not crack our heads. Amen. When is it going to do it in its fullness? Let's leave that in the hands of the one who will reveal it to us in due season. Amen. But what can we focus on now? What should faith be focusing on? What is God speaking to you now about? What is God revealing to you in your personal life? What is God telling you to focus on? That's the thing you need to focus on. And when the Lord reveals that to you, do it with all your heart. Do it with all your soul. Do it with all your might. And that's the quickest way to come to your inheritance. Is step by step and stage by stage like that. That's the way that faith operates. And Abram got to his inheritance in the end. Abram wasn't disappointed. Yeah. Other people might have looked and said this, that, and the other. But to Abraham, he knew that the end of his faith was going to be well worth all the rest. He knew when I get there in the end, you know, like it says, a promise fulfilled is as a tree of life. Friends, it's the sweetest of things. And that's why Hebrews 11, it focuses the most on Abraham. Because he's the father of the faithful. He's the beginning of the faith, Abraham. And that's why in our age now, we have a prophet again, Branham, yeah, who comes now to restore the faith. You see, that's what it is. It's a beginning and the ending. And that's why you and I have in us the potential. We have the faith of Abraham. We're the royal seed of Abraham. We can walk like Abraham. We're ordained to walk like Abraham. But you just got to keep your focus on the right things. Amen. You've got to keep your focus on the right things. And one thing that helps you is surrounding yourself by the right people. Amen. Because if there's anything that can pull you out of focus in your faith, it's surrounding yourself with the wrong people. When Abraham had Lot and his father-in-law and all those things, it was a problem to him. And God had to get him to fully separate himself from all these other competing forces that were trying to pull him to the left and the right. Then finally, when Abraham was in full obedience, he was now focused on what his faith had told him to do. God came and gave him a fresh revelation now and moved him on to the next stage. So separate yourself from all unbelief. Anything that hinders your faith, anything that hinders you from walking in faith, no matter how precious it is to you, it's not that precious, I'm telling you. God has far greater precious things that he's leading you to than holding on to these imitations and these impersonations of the real thing that you're holding on to when God has the real thing. No, let's let them go. But that requires faith. That requires faith. You've got to have faith that I'm giving this up, Lord. I'm putting this baby in a basket and I'm putting him in the river. You don't see the end of that, but faith was declaring that to them. They knew God is in this program. Though we put him in the River Nile, God is in the program. God has to sort it out in the end. How is it going to work? How is God going to navigate this little basket down through the alligators and the crocodiles? And they weren't worried about that. They were focusing what their faith was telling them to do, was put the baby in the basket and put the basket in the river and leave the rest in the hands of God. And when they did that, then things started to open up. Things started to open up. And then all of a sudden, Jochebed is sitting at home there, you know, wondering what's going to happen. And Miriam comes. Mommy, mommy, come. Quick, mommy, come. Where are we going? What's happened? No, it's okay. Mommy, come quickly. Takes her right into the palace. Hallelujah. And he has Pharaoh's daughter with baby Moses. Amen. Now, would you please take this child and go nurse it until he's old enough? We'll pay you for it. Our friends. You see, you're willing by faith to let something go. And God gives you back something far greater in return. That's what faith is. But sometimes we don't want to step out in that faith. That's why we don't see the manifestation down the way. But that faith will be urging you on. That faith will be wanting to express itself. But you're taking a step into the unknown at first. It's unknown to you, but it's not unknown to God. He knows what he's doing. He's got the program. He's got the plan under his control. And that's why Abraham, when the Lord said to him, go and sacrifice your son, like we said last week, it didn't stumble Abraham. It didn't stumble because he knew God is in this program. God said that the seed is in this boy. The inheritance is coming through this boy. So how is it going to work? I leave that up to God. He didn't worry about the how. What's going to happen next? I'm going to leave that in the hands of God. What I'm just going to get my faith to do is focus on what he told me to do now. And that's why he got up early in the morning. That's why he went and he cut the wood himself. That's why he never told Sarah. She didn't have that faith. She was going to pull him out of focus. So he said, no, this is between me and God. He's revealed this to me. And then he took him to the mountain, left the servants down at the bottom, and his faith was declaring itself. I and the lad will come back to you. That was fair. How is it going to happen? Those servants could have asked and said, you know, Master, we don't understand this kind of an offering. Every time you've come before, there's been a lamb. There's been a ram. But this time we don't see no ram. Abraham didn't need to answer their questions. Because to tell the truth, friends, Abraham didn't have the answer. He would have been trying to answer things that were deeper than himself. He left the hidden things with God. And then just in season, when he focused his faith on the right thing, God showed him the next thing. And here was a ram in a thicket. Then he said, oh God, you knew what you were doing right from the beginning. But God kept it secret from him because that's how he tests our faith. He wants us to step out into that unknown. He wants us to obey him without understanding where it's all going to end. But that faith will be declaring itself to you. It's got to come out right because God is in the program. Amen. God is the originator of this faith. He's going to be the finisher of this faith. If he's asking me to give up something, there's something better in the end that he's going to give me. Even if he's got to raise this boy from the dead, I'm coming back down with my son. Oh, friends, that was the faith of Abraham. Don't you want that kind of faith? That's mature faith. I want that kind of faith. I want that faith that when he speaks to me to do something, I do it. My mind might tell me a lot of stories. I may lay in my bed and the devil's trying. But as long as you don't open the door to those things, don't worry about them. The birds can fly over. All these thoughts can come. It's okay. Just focus your faith. Just focus. What is it, Lord, that you want me to do? Now, that's why the prophet says it. It's very outstanding. It seems very simple. But he says, you know, when he's preaching the seals, he said, if Jesus comes back tomorrow night, he says, you know what I'm going to be doing tomorrow in the morning? I'm going to be standing in this pulpit preaching these seals. Amen. That's powerful. Because faith will focus on the task at hand. Faith doesn't worry about, okay, if that's going to happen tomorrow night, I'm leaving that in the hands of God. But what does he want me to do before then? Let me be found faithful. Let my faith be focused on the task at hand. Then let him take care of the rest. I don't think that you have to worry about the rapture if you're a believer. I think you just need to be worried about focusing your faith. I just think you need to be obedient like Abraham was obedient. Because when God spoke to him, he obeyed going out to a place that he didn't know where he was going, which he should afterwards receive for an inheritance. That's what you should be focusing on. If you're a Sunday school teacher and there's all these problems around you in life, it's okay. Don't worry about those problems. Focus on the Sunday school. Do it with all your heart. Do it by faith. Take your resources and pour themselves into it. If you, whatever you are in the house of God. But you know where the problem comes, and I've said it many times. We give into sense. We're given to feelings, emotions, and all those kind of things. And those things will pull us away. Try to separate us from the very thing that's taken us step by step to our full inheritance. Instead of focusing more and saying, no, the darker it gets, the harder the road seems to be, that means I'm getting somewhere. We can start paying attention to all those other things, all the secondary things. And we start looking at the prison bars. And we're going to be like, Joseph never had a calendar on the wall, I believe. I don't think he was counting the days. You know, I've been here now for 6 years and 14 days. You know, I never did anything wrong. He wasn't like that, Abraham. He wasn't that kind of a person. He had a faith inside of him. He said, I don't care what that calendar says. That's time. But God knows what he's doing. In his time, he does all things well. There's a time to every purpose under heaven. But he doesn't have to tell you another time. Because who's the boss then? No, he's the boss. Leave the time in his hands. Leave the method and the way and leave the map up to him. And let's focus our faith on the task at hand. Let's serve him today. That's how we read the scripture this morning with the youth. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. While you've got today, serve him today. Serve him with all your heart today. Leave tomorrow to him. Leave yesterday and leave tomorrow. Just focus on today. The task at hand. And friends, everything has to come out well. Because your faith will never deceive you. If God is in the program, friends, no matter how much the devil tries to sink the ship, as long as Jesus is in the boat, you're not going to sink that ship. You're not going to sink that ship. The water may come in, and sometimes you'll be scared to say, Master, don't you care that we perish? But if he's in the program, it's going to come to the haven of rest. It'll never fail. As long as he's in the boat.
Hallelujah.
And how do you know that he's in the boat? Because you've got a faith. There's a substance. There's something inside of your soul that never used to be there. But he's put it there. And through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. It's grace has brought me safe thus far. I'm just going to rely on the same grace to take me home. If it's his grace who brought me, is it going to be my works that get me there? No, no. Having begun in the spirit, why do we want to perfect ourselves in the flesh? Like Paul says, no, 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 friends. Let's keep our faith in focus.
Amen.
Let's focus on the right things. Whatever God is overshadowing in your life, whatever God is quickening to you, whatever his name is resting upon, focus on that. Feed on that. Gain virtue from that and just leave the rest of the dark areas which you don't understand and the doors that won't open and the things which don't seem to work the way that you want, just leave them in the hands of God. And friends, you'll come out fine in the end. Let's be like our father Abraham, that when he heard, when he received the revelation, the faith, when God spoke to him and said, Abraham, leave everything. Come and follow me. Like Matthew. Like the disciples in the Bible. Leave everything. Come and follow me. Friends, it's glorious. It's a glorious kind of walk. May the Lord help us. Let's keep our faith in focus. Maybe you like those binoculars that have got out of focus. Get yourself in prayer. Get yourself in his word. Get things back in focus again until you can see clearly the way he wants you to see. And then do what it is that he wants you to do. And God will handle the things that we commit into his hands. Let's answer this. Let's keep our faith in focus. As we look beyond the river. And we see Beulah land. Friends, one day our faith will become sight. One day we'll have the reality, in reality of that which is declaring itself to us now. So let's keep walking in faith with him. Let's sing that song again, Beulah Land.
Someday on
I'm looking up across the river with my faith. Just a few more days to labor, to labor. Then I'll take my heavenly flight, Beulah Land, Beulah Land. I'm longing for you. This someday on the earth I will stand. My home shall be eternal. I'm longing for you. Yes, someday on the earth I will stay. My hope shall be eternal, Beulah Land, sweet Beulah Land.
There's a land and it's fairer than day. And by faith we can see it afar. And our inheritance lays over the way. The fullness of our inheritance, friends. Doesn't your faith tell you that? That when you accepted him and he came inside of your soul, it started you on a journey. It started you on a pilgrimage like your father Abraham. And friend, the end of that faith is glorious. It has to be. It has to be. Let's trust in him as we sing that song.
There's a land that is fairer. And by faith we can see afar, for the Father waits over the gate.
Oh, he's waiting for me
to prepare us a dwelling place.
Thank you, Lord,
in the swift by and by we shall. We shall meet on the beautiful shore.
By keeping your faith in focus.
Amen.
That's all you got to do. What is he speaking to you about in your life now? Keep your faith in focus.
Amen.
And when we get there and there's the great warriors of the faith giving their testimonies, like that song, "Are You She, the Bride of the Last Age?" When you get up there and you wanted to speak to Daniel because of the lion's den, you wanted to speak about Isaiah because you were sawn asunder, they'll come to you and say, "But hey, how did you overcome in those the most evil of times?" And you'll say, "The same way that you did, by faith." The same faith that was in you is the same faith that is in me. And I just kept my faith in focus the way that you did. I just obeyed my faith the way that you did. And he took care of the rest. And friends, that's the way that you overcome. Let's sing one more, Brother George, if you got one for us. Please,
my faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior, divine. You are divine, Lord. Now hear me, Lord. While I pray,
Refocus my faith. You may be perplexed. You may be confused. You may be depressed. You may be making plans for the future, and it's all the origination of your own understanding. It's all coming from your reasoning power. It's all coming because of circumstances. Why not just call a halt? Why not come back to Him that started the work in you? Why not say, Lord, help me to focus my faith. What is it, Lord, that you desire me to do at this time? What is it, Lord, that you require of me? And I guarantee you, my friend, the end of your decision making, if you take that approach, will be far more glorious for you and those that are around you than all of the things that you can hatch up in your own imagination. Because His faith never fails. His faith never misleads. His faith never disappoints. His faith will always bring you to your inheritance. And I'm sure that's what you desire. Let's speak to Him a little bit before we go and say, Lord, help me to focus my faith. And Lord, whatsoever it is that my hand finds to do at this time, I want to do it with all my heart. I want to pour my soul into it, Lord. Father, though I may be in a prison house, though I may be waiting for those doors to open, but Lord, there's plenty for me to do in here because I can see that you're with me. And He'll keep you safe to the end of the journey. Let's speak to Him before we go in Jesus' name. Ask Brother George to close for us in a word of prayer, if he would please. If anybody has a desire before the Lord, why not raise up your hand and let's agree together. Even as the song says, let's agree together in Jesus' name.
Father, we thank Thee for Your kindness, for Your goodness.
Yes, Lord.
For Lord, this principle of faith is, Lord, a vast topic, O God.
Oh, Lord.
And Lord, Father, it's not something that we can go to college and get a degree in.
No.
But Father, it's something that we get through life's experiences, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Father, we thank Thee, O God, when we look in that way for the times that we've come, the trials that we've been through.
Yes.
It's only to build our faith.
Amen.
From glory unto glory.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, Father, You are a great teacher. You are a great
yes,
God,
Lord. Yes.
For You know how to teach us, Lord. Father, Lord, it's not like, Lord Savior, when we were in school and we could hide in the class because we didn't know the answers. But we can't hide from Thee, O God.
Amen.
Father, there where we hide and there where we, Lord, Father, dodge Thee. Father, You will take us through at another time.
Amen.
Father, where we are weak And where we are not strong, you want us to be strong, oh God.
Amen.
Lord, we are grateful tonight to think, oh God, Lord Savior, that the world teaches us one way, but you teach us another way.
Amen.
For thine ways are past finding out.
Yes, Lord.
And as you said, Jesus, your ways are far above the heavens are to the earth, Lord. Father, but your ways are pure.
Yes,
Lord. Oh God, Lord Savior, no one today from Lord Savior the pulpit to the cry room could say, Father, we are masters of faith.
Amen.
We are all babies, Lord, learning upon a daily basis, oh
yes,
God.
Lord, yes.
Father, to think from the day, Lord Savior, that each and every one of us repented,
yes,
Lord Savior, to where we are. Amen. Father, the great things that you've taken us through.
Amen.
And where life has been virtuous and been so sumptuous and so filling, Lord, is when we were led by faith.
Amen.
When we were obedient,
yes,
to the Master,
Lord.
Oh God. Lord, where we resisted, Lord, Father, we only caused ourselves pain.
Yes.
But Lord, how? Father, Lord Savior, we looked to that scripture when you said a righteous man will fall several times.
Yes.
But Lord, Father, it's not he that falls, but he that rises up, Lord,
Amen,
and dusts himself and continues on, Lord.
Amen.
Oh God, Lord Savior, you said, Father, in your word, that Lord Savior, the race is not to the swift.
Amen.
In another scripture, you said, Lord, Father, a horse is a vain thing for safety, oh God.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, Father, and you still went to say that, Lord, a live dog is better than a dead lion.
Amen.
Father, there's,
Amen,
wisdom in your word.
Amen.
There's such virtue in your,
yes,
word.
Lord.
Oh God, Lord Savior, Father, as, Lord, this issue of faith continues to unfold unto us, Lord. Help us, oh God, Lord Savior, that we don't,
Amen,
hold back, Lord Savior, in any way, but we would surrender all fully unto thee, oh God. Father, and as we surrender, oh God, you would raise our faith,
Amen,
Lord Savior, to those heights,
yes,
that you desire. For Lord, we don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know how the systems of this world, Lord Father, would come to a close. But we want to be ready upon that day.
Amen.
And Father, when you,
yes,
said, all that is in your hand, Jesus, you said, you lose none.
Amen.
We believe today, Father, we can run, we can hide. But Lord, one thing that you have in eternity, you have time.
Amen.
Father, you have time for us, oh God.
Amen.
And Lord, this thing called faith, it's so wonderful, it's so precious,
Amen,
to me, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father, if we could say respectfully,
oh,
that faith hath no brains.
Amen.
It hath no intellect, it hath no wisdom of its own.
Yes.
But we are dependent upon thee like the sheep, Lord Savior.
Amen.
We don't want to lead ourselves in any way. But we want, like we sang, our faith looks up unto thee.
Amen.
Thou Lamb of Calvary, O God. Lord, we don't understand,
yes, Lord,
many,
yes,
things, O God.
Yes.
But Lord, we know, Amen, thee and we have faith in thee, O God. We've experienced thee in many ways amidst our lives.
Amen.
You've, Lord Savior, brought us through perils. You've brought us to tough times. But Lord, we are here today. Lord, and we are glad to,
yes,
be here,
yes,
and,
yes,
part of your family, part,
hallelujah,
of the service today,
yes,
part of the witnesses of faith.
Amen.
Oh God, we believe, Lord Savior,
yes, Lord,
as the end of that, Lord Savior, Hebrews says that they without us,
Amen,
they without us,
yes,
cannot,
Lord,
be made perfect.
Amen.
They are depending upon us, Lord,
yes,
Savior,
Lord,
and we want to play our part.
Amen.
We want to be faithful. We,
yes,
want to be virtuous and honest, Lord, not to have made it by the skin of our teeth,
yes,
but Lord, to walk in, Lord Savior, and we would sing onward, Christian soldiers.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we'd not, Lord Savior, walk in shy, but we'd walk in with vigor and pride.
Amen.
Savior, help us, Lord, as we journey through this life,
yes,
and as you teach us about faith. We don't know about tomorrow. You don't want us to know about tomorrow, but we know about now. But we're glad that we know you who holds,
Amen,
tomorrow.
Yes,
Father,
Lord.
Oh God, we see that principle of faith, Lord, in Israel, Lord, Savior, in the wilderness. They didn't have storehouses.
Yes,
they didn't have big storage, deep freezers,
yes,
to,
Lord,
store manna. But you fed them according to their,
Amen,
faith upon a daily basis.
Yes,
and this is our manna that we've fed today.
Amen.
And as we part, Jesus, with our lifted hands unto thee,
yes,
you know the needs that we have.
Amen, amen,
Father,
amen,
the young people, the needs that,
yes,
they have.
Yes.
Father, we think when we were young, oh God, the fears that we had,
Amen,
whether it was work, marriage, school, whatever it was.
Amen.
Lord Savior, we cast our lot in with you. And Lord Savior, today, Lord Savior, you've not failed us, oh God.
Amen.
Father, you've given us whatever we need, Lord.
Amen.
You've never, ever denied us those things that were good for us, oh God. The only things you denied were the bad things to us, oh God. As we part, Father, bless each and every brother and each and every sister.
Amen.
Keep us along the way. Bless especially the pastor, the time that he's taken. Oh God, Lord Savior, Father, to prepare and deal with the youth. And not only the pastor, Father, Brother Max, Brother Wilmore, and all the brethren that were behind it, oh God. Lord Savior, Father, even those that were, Lord Savior, oh God, in prayer for this time.
Amen.
We ask your grace, oh God. Let it not be that tomorrow, Lord Savior, we'd be campground stars.
Amen.
We'd go and fall. But let it be that the youth, Lord Savior, tomorrow, Lord Savior, would still be singing one of them. One of them. Father, give us grace as we part. Part with us, oh God.
Yes, Lord.
Bless your word to our bodies and our bodies to the service of this life that we live. We ask your grace as we part. Be glorified in Jesus' name.
Amen. So just a couple of announcements. The first one is this Friday, we want to have a special meeting just with the saints that were with us in Wicklow in December. So all the officers and so forth. Everybody was there. And Brother Mike was supposed to be there as well, but he couldn't make us. We invite him to come, please, on Friday. We just want to get back to our agenda and just move it on some more. Now that we've had our meeting with the youth, which we discussed when we were there. Now, there were certain things we wanted to discuss with them. So we just want to get back. Come and let's have prayer. Let's come and seek the Lord. And let's come and put some of those things that we discussed. Let's speak about them. Let's fellowship around them. And let's move some of those things on as well. So we want to have a special meeting Friday for everybody that's at Wicklow. Plus we invite Brother Mike to come as well. Then next Sunday as well, we're going to do today, but I knew not everybody would be here. But we'd like to take an offering for Sister Dube for her father. So let's do that next Sunday in the morning. I think everybody will be there at that time. So by the time she comes back, we can contribute, or if we need to send it there, whatever. So we'll have a special offering for our sister next Sunday morning. So may the Lord bless you. Let's sing that song, He Knows My Name. He knows my every thought, and may God bless you as we dismiss.
I have a Maker before my heart.
Thank you, Lord.
Before even time began, my life was.
Oh, thank you, Lord. My life was in your hand. He knows. Father.